Welcome to Geeks of North, a hobby gaming podcast on the Bon Province. This week I'm here with the whole gang, and we're talking about our Christmas wish list and how we think PVC plastics will change industry. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And my fellow co-host, Yom Le Machin.
Hello. No, that's okay.
I don't know.
I heard filler co-host, or is it?
Oh, fellow.
Okay, fellow. It's like, oh, filler. We start with a little jab. Right up the door.
I wouldn't do that to Steve. And my other co-host, B. Steve.
Evening, guys. Wow, you're sensitive tonight, Yo.
Yo's got a complex. I think I pick on him too much.
Oh, I have an army now. So.
But you complimented on the last podcast, so he should be like all jolly and ready to be happy.
You're right. And I will download this. And every time I feel blue, I will
keep that podcast near.
Yeah, it's evidence.
Exactly. A little positive reinforcement.
Yeah, exactly. I think he might put that quote on ringtone for his cell phone.
Yom is an outstanding painter. He's just a lousy human being. That's.
You give it, you take. It's okay. It's better than just taking.
If I didn't like you, Yom, you wouldn't be here because it's still my podcast.
Yes.
Wait, that just went right to,
right at the start.
Okay, guys. So this is our Christmas episode. I don't know when it's going to be released in relation to everything else we're doing this week for recording, but so it may come out before another. We may have other episodes before Christmas, what I'm getting at. This may not be our last one before Christmas. But it was a good chance to get all four of us together recording in the same room, which we haven't done in probably since last Christmas.
Yeah, probably.
And we got a couple interesting topics. We're gonna discuss our Christmas wish list, what we'd like for Christmas in terms of miniatures and hobby stuff. And so, I was gonna add something there, but I'm not gonna. And
and other stuff may come.
And other stuff may come, yeah.
Because it's not that. I'm not sure that people are on the edge of their seat. Whoa, I wonder what they want for Christmas.
And also we're going to discuss the quote-unquote real main topic is PVC plastic and how it's going to affect our industry. And we're seeing now we saw Steamforge launch a full starter set one-piece models, and they've announced they're going to be going that way. For their teams in the future. And we're starting to see more and more products be done in PVC. And we're just kind of going to spitball and talk about what we think this holds for the industry. But before we get to all that, we're going to do all our standard stuff, which means we're going to do our hobby time, our games played. We have no cool stuff on the web this week. Right, Antoine? Okay, perfect. And our hobby tip of the episode. Which I should remember what it is because I came up with it. Yeah, okay. All right. So that being said, let's get the show started. And as always, I'll start off with my hobby. And it's going to be short. So
yeah, just to mention, we recorded a week and a half ago. Last time, we hadn't recorded for 6 weeks. So it's a bit of a difference in the amount of time available to work on stuff.
Yeah, but... It's funny you mention that, but since that last episode, I've actually been kind of motivated to do stuff and just had no time to do it. So it's nothing. There is nothing more depressing than wanting to paint, sitting down, on my computer, 3 feet away from my painting table, and going, "No, I have to write this code for the website, or I have to do this for the for work."
I understand and I can't. You so well.
I know you do.
It's just there, looking at you and teasing you and.
Yeah. Like the other night, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I just finished some work. I'm like, I'll just prime my model quickly. Yeah. So I primed model my airbrush because it was like hobby. That's how desperate I was. Anyway.
Well, you've been out for, it was only a week for you, but it's been 6 weeks for me. So I will compensate. Yeah, I know you like it.
You're always compensating. Oh, poor you. I'm sorry, Mark. I tried to be nice to him. I really did. It worked so well. Because I get chastised, just to let you know.
I know.
Mark Maxey and Mocha are like, you're so mean to him.
I have people on Team Yom, man. It's real.
Hashtag Team Yom. We're going to have to start that. We're going to have to start hashtag Team Yom.
I think they don't understand.
It's like the Butcher Civil War, but it's like Diesel and North Civil War.
Yeah. Hashtag Team Yom or what was Andrew tag? Who's Yom or something like that?
We was keeping asking that, like, who's Yom or I don't know. Who's that guy again? It's been a while since he insulted me. Yeah. I guess Paul is doing a good job.
He figures I'm doing a good enough job. He doesn't need to chime in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So my hobby. So I started painting two Thanatar Calyx, which are the kind of big Mechanicum 30K robots with the giant laser cannons on their shoulder instead of the mortars. So they have the Strength 10 crazy laser cannon. So I got those all base coated and set up. And I also had this inspiration for a goal for a Guild Ball team I don't own.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought when I saw the show note. You're making a goal, but you don't even own the team.
It's prep.
But I have the team, so...
Yeah, well, I see. Maybe I had you in mind, Steve.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming.
Maybe I'll buy the
goal. That's how it started. I painted my goal first.
Oh, really?
Painting my
Yeah, so I... Because we were talking this week about hunter goals, right?
Yeah.
And how everyone does the same thing where it's a tree with like a sign target. Hanging from it or a target on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just been done like 1,000 times. So I started thinking, what could I do? And so I started going through Thingiverse, which is a resource for 3D printed models.
Which is a bad site to lose your time.
I found some skull models. For like saber-tooth cats and stuff, like saber-tooth tigers. And I scaled one to a size. And then I printed out, there is a gentleman who's released some Guild Ball gold markers on Thingiverse. And I went there and found the Hunter's Guild sign.
Okay.
And I printed that out. And I mounted it inside the saber-tooth tiger's skull, like in its mouth.
Nice.
And I mounted that on a base. So it's a neat idea. It's just something different.
Yeah.
The scale's kind of odd because in order to get that target to fit in the size of the mouth, it's a big skull. Like it's, but I mean, they're hunters, right?
They took it down.
So it's a saber, it's a saber-toothed cat the size of an elephant.
It's okay.
The legend of Terran is like the legend of Hercules.
We don't know what they have in their world, right?
So. No, exactly. They have a bear on their team. So everything is possible.
Right? It's open.
So I prepped that 3D print and primed it and started painting it. Now I just got to figure out how to mount it on the base, like how I want to do it. It'll probably be on a pile of rocks or something.
Yeah. Just not laying stand on the 50mm base. Just put a bit of diorama on it.
Yeah. And that 50mm base gets small awfully quick, though, with that skull. I had printed it in a smaller size originally, and it looked good, but the problem is getting the ball marker, the target to fit in its inside. Mouth, like the scale was all wrong, so... I may have to fiddle a couple more times. I may have to do some rescaling. But we'll see. We'll see what it comes out like. So, that's really it. Not a whole heck of a lot going on for me hobby-wise. And games is easy. I haven't had a chance to play anything. Everything this week kind of...
Yeah, you almost had a game Tuesday, Thursday.
Almost have a game. Yeah. We keep challenging you, but...
Believe me, it's not that I don't want to play. Mm-hmm. I've been eagerly... waiting to play some season 3. Most of the changes look really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I think the big difference for me is and I know we might discuss season 3 but later on, so I don't want to go into it, but the if I don't start with initiative, that one momentum I get.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah.
That's huge.
That's a real big thing for me. Because if I don't have the ball, I'm not in a good place, and initiative is really important for me. So. So I'll say I haven't managed to play a thing. I'm hoping to do better, guys. I'll try to do better.
You will.
And that takes us to Antoine, who was nice enough to rejoin us. So
perfectly timed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they heard it over the mic because it's so sensitive. I'm sure they heard the stair creaking as he came down quietly to try to sit back down. So
it was a really good job.
So like we mentioned, I haven't done that much, so I've been able to finish two Pulp City models, Silver Rager that was already started, and the Primate of Science, one of the tiny leader monkeys. So they're all done. Super happy with audio
books. I don't think I saw that one.
They're all right there.
Too far for me to see. My eyes are really poopy. That's I'll check it out later.
Yeah.
Is he on top of like a telephone?
Yep.
Like a phone box. A phone box? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. He is tiny. Jeez.
Yeah. The three leaders are like three, not thematic, but representation of the three side of the faction. The arc, they have a mystery side, a science side, and a primal nature side. So this one is for the science team. There are two others. There's the primate of nature, which is a tiny King Kong on the, how do you call that?
Not a tiny building. Please tell me not a tiny Empire State Building.
No. It's the post to pay for parking.
Oh, a parking meter.
A parking meter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the last one is a tiny, the primate of mystery. He is just sitting, he's not on something, but he has a Shiva, the Indian goddess poses with all the like face tattoos and stuff like that.
Okay.
All the physical version. So they're cool. So I'm not with all those four monkeys because I had two that I finished painting last time, but now they're all bathed, varnished and ready to play.
Nice.
And on top of that, I've been working on, I've mentioned, I think, in the last show or the one before, I started painting Uncharted Seas Imperial Human Star. I did all the hulls, and now I've been working on the sails. So about halfway done, all the color is done, so I need to do the mast, and I'm looking for some decals to do either squads marking or stuff like that, or just random decorations. And I also discovered that the ships are, the hulls are resin, but the sails are metal.
And top heavy much?
I already had two faction for Uncharted Seas, two or three, but the ships were all large based.
Yeah, it's like my elves are very wide, the ships.
Yeah, really wide. But the humans are really narrow, so they fall over all the time, so I need to find a way to make bases for them.
Some clear blue acrylic maybe or something.
Yeah, I've seen some cool painted waves, but it's a lot of work for something that I might use once or twice. So maybe just clear acrylic to go over.
Yeah, or like I said, like blue tinted acrylic.
Yeah, but
I saw some really nice bases this week for a Signar army in blue acrylic. I don't know if you saw that, Yom, that poor guy who did his whole army on clear blue acrylic bases and then got told it wasn't tournament legal because they're not round-lipped privateer press bases.
Yeah.
What?
That's I thought it was a joke too, but yeah.
So he went and saw a press ganger. Sorry, we're totally hijacking this segment.
Apparently it was a judge. So you can relate when a judge says something normally, it would be illegal. So apparently the guy who gave his agreement was a judge.
Okay. And asked if it was approved and they said, yeah, no problem because the dimensions are correct. And then that basically got overruled because in one of the documents now, I guess it actually mentions specifically privateer press bases.
It's just that if you don't use privateer press,
it counts as a conversion.
It counts as a conversion. And then in the conversion part, it says that you need to use round-lipped base.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They changed the rules apparently.
It's something they can change easily with a rewrite of the similar document. But right now, and people print, and people were really anal about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like the guy got really like bashed around.
Because he didn't use them?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was bad. I thought it was a joke, but
I prefer straight edge because you have more places for the basing effect. Yeah. So you can get like cooler scenes.
Yeah, and his bases were really nice. Like they're very clean blue. He had the arcs marked on it, everything, but.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Arkmar, and there was no trace of glue or no frosting. It was like a beautiful.
A good job.
A good, well done job. But he got really dallopy. No, he got really, like, pushed around.
Wow.
It became a big deal. I don't know if that was in the Signar Facebook group I saw that, or to the point where he actually took down his thread about it. And then people started asking what had happened the next day, so he had to repost some of the pictures. We didn't want to go into details, really. And it was like they lambasted him for it.
The guy was not expecting that. He just, hey, I did something nice.
Yeah.
And
we ran tournament and we asked EOs, would you have refused that?
No, I don't know.
No, if the dimensions are the same.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The front arc are marked and the dimensions are the same. I don't see why.
We might be more loose on some of the conversion requirements, but we're also not PGs nor judges. So when our events are a bit outside of the usual requirements, but still.
And this guy said, you know, if I was playing locally, it wouldn't matter because, you know, the judge who ruled that it was okay is a local judge. Mm-hmm. It's all good. But he wants to compete, like, nationally. Mm-hmm. So he wants to go to, like, War Machine Weekend and stuff and other events. He's like, I can't take my army now. So he's actually talking about sticking his, like, fun tacking his acrylic bases onto round lip regular PP bases, like, stacking them for tournaments.
Yeah.
Because that would be legal.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's ridiculous. I like your reaction after the face bombs.
Sadly, this is radio, not video, because that look was priceless.
Well, that was a Picard face bomb.
I see maybe a TO refusing, but the guy being blasted on the forum by all the other players, that I find...
Even a TO refusing, I would kick that TO in the junk.
Oh, but we've seen worse than that.
Yeah, and I would have kicked that in the junk too. So.
But it's a TO, and he can decide whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But after that, the other players, like, piling on.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
For a hobby that, War Machine is more competitive than hobby-oriented, but still.
You can tell that by the number of painted armies you see.
Yeah, it was an online fight. People agreeing with him or people... blasting him because people were just calling him an idiot.
Yeah, it's in the document.
At that point.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the doc. How can you, if you can't read the doc, then you shouldn't be able to play. Like stuff like that. Like, just super aggressive.
Some people were defending him, but
Wow.
And the guy just did something neat and wanted to
share. Are the Signar groups always that?
It surprised me because
no.
People don't attack each other normally. Even when people disagree, they don't attack each other.
It seemed a little over the top. I couldn't really... I thought, like, I went back looking through stuff to see if I'd missed something. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, this is more than about bases. There's obviously something else at play here. Oh, no, it's really just about the bases.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. People are strange.
I'm only in the groups of the faction I play. So, I completely...
Troll players are too casual. That would never faze them.
Yeah, but they were always salty, but they don't attack each other. They just complain about the other factions.
It was just weird.
Very strange. Sorry, Antoine, we completely sidetracked your hobby.
So maybe I'll need the runly bases for my boats. I need to check Spartan Games OP document.
Spartan Games has a document.
You want to compete nationally?
Yeah, for Uncharted Thieves, the game that they discontinued officially last week. Yeah, no. Okay, but that's all the hobby I did.
Discontinued officially last week?
Yeah, it was already...
I thought it was already end of life.
It was available only from their store. But they said that they will no longer produce anything, and they were just discounting everything that was left.
Wow.
Yeah.
So long, Uncharted.
I couldn't even find any project on that website because I have some armies that I wanted extra ships. Like my, I have the Shrouded Dwarf or something like that.
Yeah.
Evil Dwarfs. And they have subs and I didn't get them when I played earlier. But I wanted at least a blister of them. Nope, nothing. Already cleared. So, bye-bye Uncharted season. First... Uncharted, Spartan Games.
Yeah, first Spartan game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, I think, 5 faction for that. 4 or 5. And the game is dead. I feel for you, Steve.
I'm sure it compares.
Okay, on the game side, I only had a single game, and it was Guildbald with Steve, so... I'll let him go in more detail when he gets to his own
Oh, you can talk about how you crush me. It's okay. Yeah,
it was a pretty fast and brutal defeat.
First. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah. It was our first, my first season 3 game. Was it your first?
No, you played my third.
Earlier in the week. Yeah. So, I played the classic lineup for Butchers, like the 6 original characters. So, Ox, Princess, Boiler, Brisket, Boar, and Shank, which are the 6 original models. And most of them didn't change.
Well, Shank changed.
Well, 2 lost a rule or a point of stats.
Yeah, yeah.
And 1 got a slight buff. But apart for Shank losing 1 point of influence, didn't really have an impact in the game. And most of the new rules for Season 3, like the stuff with the mascot, the tap-in, didn't enter into play.
No.
So the only thing that had an impact was Shank having less influence, and he still did 10 VPs by himself.
That was not enough of a nerve, apparently.
Which one is Shank again?
The guy with the 2 giant cutters and the chains.
Okay.
And the scarf.
Yeah, so he went from 2-4 influence to 2-3. So all his rules are exactly the same, but you can allocate him less influence. Yeah. And he still scored 2 goals and did 1 kill.
He was one of their best players in the first, when the previous seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised he didn't. Well, not really.
But he got hurt more.
Yeah. You would expect, maybe.
But. Well, he still does his job. And reducing the influence maximum had an impact in the game because I had to work a lot more around what I'm going to do with him because I was always missing 1 attack to create momentum or stuff like that. But the rest of the game went so well that he was able to do everything he had to do. Yeah.
Thinking back, there was a thread in the community, in the Gitball community in the past, like your dream team, your 8 dream team, and you could pick players from any team. And Shank was in everybody's list, so I'm surprised that he was not affected more. So, I mean, he was really well known that he was really strong.
Yeah.
And the set of 7 other players on those lists were nerfed. So that's why I'm surprised.
He was nerfed. He can do less. He can still do the same thing, but less of it. And I think that's the big thing with him. So it works, but 3 influence is not a lot. When you want to charge and do something else, that's all you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Mash is really, really limited because of that. Yeah, yeah. But, well, good for
Mash
you.
Mash also have the option of being there for a snapshot or stuff like that, which Shank can't with his 2 dice.
Mm-hmm. And yet you scored 2 goals on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not with snapshots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both time they were, he was clear of opponent models, and I was bonus timing the shots.
Yeah, because snapshot would makes the target.
I need 2 successes instead of only 1 on 2 dice. Yeah, so.
That's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. I usually miss my goal with him with the bonus time, so I wouldn't go for a snapshot.
Yeah, and you can't bonus time a snapshot, can you?
Yes, you can.
Yes,
you can?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would go to 3 dice, needed 2 success.
Sounds feasible to me.
Yeah, indeed.
I've tried it before.
Says the player who didn't like my plan, aggressive plan.
Conservative player.
Yeah. But overall, for the little we've seen of the effect of Season 3, it was fine. The only thing that really came into effect, apart from the change to the players, were the influence point, like you were talking before when I came back. The momentum point you get for losing the initiative.
Yeah,
and both time it had an impact, so it was cool. I like that. It makes for something less brutal when you lose the initiative, and the other player can already just butcher anything that is in front of him by putting max influence on a captain or something like that. So it was cool. That's it for me. Only 1 game.
Okay.
Dom?
I don't know, maybe we should tell our listeners to go get a drink.
It's nice moment to go to the toilet because, I've been away for 6 weeks. So, day 1,
seems
I
like
painted.
It was yesterday.
Maybe I could go to the toilet. Come back. Oh, you're already at your 4-pointer. Oh, okay. Now I'm just going to stick to the highlights because Paul is looking at me.
He's not even
looking at his phone. He's looking
on purpose just because I said that. Okay, now I paint a lot, as you all know, I guess. So I'm going to stick to the highlights. I painted my Dynamo, who I had for a while unpainted. So I painted Dynamo, and he has all kinds of electric cords and stuff on him. So I did a lot of OSL. And at the same time, the next monthly painting challenge in the No Quarter from a magazine from Perfect Press is a OSL challenge. So I submitted to the No Quarter. It's my first submission. I hope everything go well.
He's a beautiful model.
Okay. Really?
People, you should pinch Jan's nose.
Stay pinch me. I like what I did.
You was
like
just waiting for an hammer to fall or a weekly
sword. I was waiting.
I'm allowed to say nice things, you know, about your models.
Those were nice flowers. I was just waiting for the pot, but.
He's a super, super nice model. Very well done.
We still have time for recording, so it's going to come back.
I did with him.
He knows I like him. He showed it to me at the gaming store. You were there.
I know. I was there.
And I gave him one critique on it, and he agreed with me. And it had nothing to do with the paint job of the model.
Oh.
It was about the base, right? We talked about the base and how the pipe that sits in front of him, I thought was odd because
Exactly. And was it really...
And that was it. Like, there's nothing negative to say about the model. The model's gorgeous.
Names are too long, though.
Yeah, he's a tall warjack, a bit like Gallant. My Gallant conversion, at least. But there was a reason for the reverse base.
Yeah, and it made sense why you did it, because the base you had, and that's fine.
And I miscalculated. I thought it would fit in the, like,
so the pipe would be between his legs.
I tried to glue him and said, oh, that won't work. I need to either remove the pipe, because it was not supposed to be on that base at first. But I didn't like the other base that I prepared for him. So I painted a new one, thinking that it would fit. But when I tried to assemble him, it wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
So that's like, kid, what do I do? Either I remove a pipe, or I needed to do something drastic. So
the pipe was molded into the base. It's a plastic insert, right?
Yeah, so it's a plastic insert. So I just turned it around. It's not as cool, but...
Makes sense.
You make do. I also painted a second team from Guild Ball, not for myself, a team of engineers for customers. It was really happy with it. I think he had a good reaction, and now he's going to play. He cannot wait to play with the new season, because he only started playing at the end of season 2, so he didn't really learn the rules then, so he's really like... Eager to play. Now he has a full painted team. Yeah, he's supposed to, because you were asking Steve for a motor, the second mascot. Yeah. He will buy the other engineers, and that's the plan. Okay. He was quite happy with the results, so he will send me the rest. Other from that,
so we won't tell him that Mainspring is really good now in season 3.
Motor is really good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with the free pass,
engineers at large can steal
the ball from away.
And engineers at large in season 2 are in a good place.
Season 3.
June 3, sorry.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mainspring the exploding mascot?
Yeah, but it still explodes, but now we do more stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he explodes.
No, you have a choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Choice is good.
Choices are
all. I was looking at Salt's card today. He still sucks, but that's okay.
He's good.
I'll give you he sucks less. Compared to tentacles.
He has the best gold threat range in the game. Almost. Second best.
He moves fast. And he's got the where did they go. Yeah. And he's got two dice there.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than all the other mascots.
And he
tentacles has two dice.
No.
Damn fish.
Tentacles has two dice.
Really?
Oh, Steve opening his hat. Antoine also. Everybody opening
I'm pretty
hats.
Sure Tentacles has two dice. Sorry, Yom, continue.
Can I continue?
Oh, yeah, 2-6.
Both find a way. There's always a way. Nowadays, there's the 7 days of art challenge going on the interwebs. Lots of painters are joining it. The concept is you have to post 3 of your projects. It doesn't have to be miniature painting, but that's mainly what I do. So you have to post 3 projects and challenge 2 person. At this point, most of the painters I know have been challenged, so I keep challenging people that I think are not doing it right now.
Like bugging your co-host?
Yeah. Today, since we were recording tonight, that's what I did today. I changed my team to have one that fit with you, and I challenged you.
Yeah, it's like both of the 21.
Yeah, two wusses have declined so far, but maybe just a little for Antoine.
We'll see.
You have a lot of good paintings.
Yeah, but I, like we mentioned before recording, I did the same thing last year.
Yeah.
And I haven't hobbied that much like worthwhile stuff or personal stuff in the year. So, and but honestly, last year was 5 days. Now it's 7. So
what people share in the challenge, it's mostly things that I have seen yet.
Yeah, old stuff. Because just
nobody's the best thing. They have already published it or won awards with it. So it's not, for the most part, it's not new stuff. So it's really not a problem. It's like a refresh. And some other people have not, there's still people on the web. It's a big place who have not seen all that you have done. So like, I know that I have new followers since last year. So for them, it's new stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's new followers.
Yeah, and I started doing the math. I'm like, okay, I need to have 21 projects. Like, I don't have 21 painted things that are worth sharing.
Or you just share what you have. I don't know. The whole point is that right now my feed, because I follow a lot of painters, it's full of inspiration. Like, there's so many beautiful stuff that you can look at.
I can just see that. Yom's feed is full of inspiration. And then my stuff.
Whatever.
It's a positive thing going on the internet right now. How can you like deny that? No, it's a good movement. So why not do it? It's like
For sure.
So like you mentioned, naming people, I will have a hard time because I follow a lot less painter than you do, and you already named everybody I know. So, okay.
Well, not everybody. Cousins signaled me tonight that he was not challenged yet.
Yeah.
Was not
so you're going to challenge him. Hey. So I can't take the lead. I would need to publish right after the show just to publish before you.
Yeah, that's the other thing, like challenging.
Yeah.
Most people, I expect, will just flip me the bird anyway. So.
I respectfully declined. If
that was really well formulated. I was like, whoa. It's like it's being watched or something.
it's my new Lithium.
Honestly, I just wanted...
I'm a kinder, nicer friend to you.
Wow, you had really a big talk with Mark and Mocha. Wow,
since the Mocha show.
I love you guys. You changed Paul.
Well, no, I still made fun of you a lot at the beginning of the show, but, you know, I'm going to wean myself off of it. Can't go cold turkey.
You do what you want, of course. I'm just trying to invite people, but I don't know. It's just because it's a cool idea. I was not really expecting you and Steve to join, but if you just want to participate in the movement.
Let me think about it. No.
Well, you already have 3 or 4 days just with your single Guild Ball models.
Yeah. It's only a team, so.
Yeah, but individual guys.
Yeah.
Well. 3 different guys every day.
That's okay.
With your union, you already have 3 days to go.
My biggest achievement would be to post everything I did. I'd be like, everything I posted took less time than one of Yom's bottles. Like, everything all together.
Well, but with good pictures, maybe you can get more reaction.
Check your the corn guy you posted on Komi.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's true. He did pretty well there.
Yeah, and you got what? A silver and a bronze or something at ReaperCon?
Yeah.
Silver. Yeah.
So you have some stuff that is worth mentioning.
Yeah, but that's not 21 pieces for the race.
Or choke after day 4. I don't know.
Wait, sorry, continue.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Finally, I have some secret projects I'm working on. This time, it's not a company gig like last year I was working on secret projects, but it was Archangel Quest. No, this time it's gifts for Christmas for family members. In the off chance that they will listen, I will not say what it is. But everything would be shown in January.
You have family members that listen to this podcast?
Maybe. My sister is on a trip to Vancouver for 6 months, and maybe she'll...
She's that bored that she'll listen
to you.
To a hobby and gaming podcast?
She missed her family, so there's a chance that she would listen to her brother being insulted on the show. Yeah, just for that.
Oh. Now I feel a little bad.
No, because I think she would be on your side.
But only a little bit.
There are people on Team Paul, I'm sure, but not her.
Is this the sister that used to help out at Kevin and Zick sometimes?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, she's nice.
Yeah.
She's the nice one.
In the family. I didn't even say that. I just said she was nice. I met her once. She was very pleasant.
Like, I'm the one saying that.
Jeez.
No, he's insulting the rest of his family now.
Yeah, exactly.
Not you.
It's also himself.
Yeah. You're the martyr.
All right, that's it for Obi. Games, I have not played Guild Ball Season 3, even if it's the new hotness.
Boo!
Yeah. Because I'm still on a Armor Horde.
Strangest sounding boo ever.
I didn't want to go too loud.
But it was a muted boo. So
I support this. He changes his voice and did some sound effect. Yeah, I support this. Do it again. It
just so the peak level wouldn't go off the roof.
It sounded like a cow that somebody grabbed their nuts.
You can do better. I challenge you to do better. You can do it.
That's
do it.
Fine.
Do it.
You can do like
I'm just a sound guy.
You know, you don't have to like be like all like boo. That was just weird.
You need to drink more. Make more sounds.
If we still get 3/4 of a bottle of scotch here, guys, come on. Get to work.
I'm not driving. You're the guy.
I'm driving. So.
I'm allowed to sleep on the floor tonight.
I have a futon. That's right. You don't need to take the floor.
The things, I don't know, highlights. I only play Warmer Hordes basically because I'm still on a Warmer Hordes hype. Highlights. I fought a Myra match against... I was playing Darius against Kane 2. Myra match because that was my first time facing Signar. And Darius defeated Kane 2, so...
That's totally official. Not how I would have predicted that went.
Yeah, that's official. Darius is OP.
Or you were just very good or very lucky.
Yeah, but it was going well for him, I have to admit. But... Yeah, you have a thing called Jackhammer. It's a spell from Darius that you can spend one focus and one of your jack can make a melee attack. So it was doing really well for him. My last standing jack was a Stormclad, so I ran the Stormclad. He was at 12 inch from Kane. So he got Kane engaged, and then Darius just started. I paid for full throttle that boosts my melee attacks. And then I just bought attacks and I killed him like that. He didn't see that coming. Admit that I didn't see that coming before 5 minutes before doing it. So, yeah. So now there's OP. I fought a guy who's becoming one of my favorite player, Alain Seguin, who seems to be a favorite of many people.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He never take things seriously. I mean, he will play seriously, but you just joke around.
He's a fun player.
Oh, yeah, all the
time.
He's
a serious player. He's a competitive player, but he's fun.
Yeah, he takes things lightly when he plays. Yeah, he's really good. But again, you don't spend like 2 minutes without making cracking jokes. So it was my second match against him. He was previously playing Scorn, and I lost to him. And now he was playing. He started playing Legion. He always plays also fully painted. So his Legion is already fully painted and he's doing a great job. So, this time I was playing Kane 2 and he was playing Veil 2. And I kind of was easy for Kane because, he got like Legion's number. Like, I don't know.
Well, some matchups are just like that, right? Some casters are better dealing with certain
enemies. Yeah, it was really easy. Kane really is part of the game. Like when you activate him, I think when you say I activate Kane, people must go like start shaking or go on the defensive, bracing for impact because he's really each activation, he changed the game state. He does a lot of things. Like some casters just support, but him is really part of the battle and it will change the game state when he activates.
So. Yeah, playing trolls, I don't know that.
Yeah, I feel like that with Butcher too whenever I play Butcher, because Butcher can just
change the game state.
Just his buffs are like the mauling people himself. Like,
oh yeah, he will remove models from the table easily, King. Even if he's just like, I just do my thing. And, oh yeah, finally, I face it Rhett again. I think I have 3 games done against Retribution. And, people on the Signal forums, the Facebook group, because I don't go in the forums. Too much negativity. Normally people are attacking each other on the forums, not on the Facebook group. Anyway, people are saying that Rhett is a really tough matchup for Signar. I have to agree because they do everything we do, but just better. It's annoying. It's like we lost some of our best spells and they gained those spells. And they have an answer for everything. They cover all in gold and you're like, it's like I don't like Rhett.
Well, they had a hard time in Mark II, I think.
Yes. And now they are really, really strong.
It's like Kador. Kador Mark II was not super good, right? And now they are super good.
Yeah. Now they are breaking people. Yeah. This is it. I'm going to cut it right there.
Okay. Steve, you're up.
For Abby, I've been assembling a bit of the Alchemist for my daughter. And I assembled Minx for my Mortician or Hunter.
How many times?
Yeah, I have to reassemble her because she broke all over the place. Probably my glue was too old or something like that, but I hate metal models.
Do you even pin?
Yeah, she was pinned.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the thing is, a lot of the models are so tiny.
They have small point of contact, so yeah.
That's why I haven't assembled Jack.
Yeah, I'm scared. So I really miss Risen model, which is a shame they won't do anymore. So I'm going to have to stick with metal or switch to plastic. And also, I don't know if it counts as hobby, but I bought more Guildbald.
Buying is always hobby.
Buying is hobby. So I bought the kickoff box and I bought some hunters and some fishermen off the Black Friday deal. And
so you went from 1 guild and a half because of your daughter guild to 5.5 in one single day.
Well, one podcast interval. I mean, single day.
You ordered the hunters before.
The hunter was, the hunter were a week before the Black Friday.
Well, it's like Paul said, it feels like yesterday. So. It's a 1 day.
And the kickoff team probably will only stay in a kickoff for now.
For now.
Let's leave it like that. I didn't paint much. I prime a couple of models, but I didn't paint them yet. As for gaming, one thing that I forgot to put in the show notes, I finished 2nd at the first South Shore tournament, the one that Ben Berube stole the name from the podcast.
Guilds of the North?
Yeah, exactly. I finished 2nd there. And the first place was a fisherman player. So, see? They're good, Paul.
I never said they were bad.
Well, you're always beating me as well, so.
I said I was bad. I never said they were bad.
You need to be more aggressive. Mascot was Salt, I think. Not too sure.
It just eats salt and pull.
As for gaming as well, I've had the chance to play 3 games of Season 3 of Guildball. One versus the new and improved Masons. And one versus Brewers and the Massacre versus Antoine's Butchers. So. But the other two were victory. So that's not too bad. 2 out of 3. And that's it for gaming. And now back to Paul.
Oh, the pressure.
Indeed.
All right. So, we'll go into our hobby tip of the episode and then we'll take a little break before we come back with some of our main topics. And our hobby tip of the episode this week comes from me and I stole it from somewhere, but I don't remember where. I think it was painting with Menoth John. Yeah. And it was a great idea and I used it and I have to share it. So we all have slotted bases, right? And you put your model in, and there's always that, either either you're not using the slot itself, so the base has a big giant gash in it that you have to fill with putty or masking tape over or whatever. Or you've got like the little bits at the end where your model's in, but you've got like holes in the end that you can't really flock over or whatever, so you have to fill them some way. Hot glue gun. It works amazing to fill those gaps. It takes no time to heat up. There's no mess. You can shave off any excess you have that comes through the other side or whatever, so make your base level again. And it works amazing.
Okay.
Well, so putty, you know, if you always have putty around, like Antoine's always got putty. Yeah. He's always working on something. He just uses it to fill bases ahead of time.
Yeah,
I never have that. I always
sculpt something. I always have extra. So I keep all my partly assembled models on the side of my table, and I use my extra to just completely fill the extra slots.
Yeah, you see, I never have putty ready, and I don't do sculpting ever.
Yeah,
and I don't do conversions ever. So it's like, oh, I want to base these models. All right, they have giant holes in them. Well, I could make some, you know, some green stuff and come back to them in 5 hours. Or I could, you know, try to cut a piece of masking tape and fit it in and hope it sticks and whatever. Or now I can just use the hot glue gun and, you know, 30 seconds later, I'm good to go.
And it cures, well, it...
It hardens as soon as it cures, right?
Super fast.
So. Yeah, so it's a great way for gap filling.
Okay, cool.
And I can see using it in other places too, like on terrain and stuff where you have weird gaps and corners where pieces don't meet.
Yeah,
like,
in big gaps, I think it's a way better option than putty, but on models, it's...
You probably have to pay attention for terrain because most of the stuff we use is foam. And that might be a bit too hot to... If you don't want the foam to...
I'm thinking like some of the GW plastic terrain you put together.
Yeah, for other stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Anyway.
It's an interesting
tip. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. Use it if you can. If you can't, well, too bad. All right. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our main topics. So we'll be right back, geeks.
The weather outside is frightful, but fire so delightful.
I hope you're recording.
When there's no place to go, let it snow.
And we're back. All right, this took us 4 attempts to come back, because we like to talk.
I blame whiskey.
The whiskey may have something to do with it.
We've been out like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, so let's start with something a little light before we get into our discussion about miniatures and PVC and stuff. Let's go with our holiday wish list. So if Santa could put something under the tree, what would it be? Yoam, you're up first.
Oh, no, I thought that Steve's one was the best one, so...
I want Game Workshop to do a real...
No, that was not it.
What was it then?
Your first one.
Oh, was it the Peace on Earth, Goodwill Towards Men?
Yeah, I want Peace on Earth and Goodwill Towards Men.
There. Yes.
Like, good luck with Trump as president.
Oh, boy. Maybe we'll get peace on it when everything's gone.
Exactly.
The cockroaches off of a very peaceful existence, yeah. No, seriously, though. So, okay, we'll go with Steve. Steve, something under the tree for Christmas. If it could have anything miniature hobby related, what would it be?
A mass battle fantasy game.
Fair enough. I'm sorry, Steve. Yeah, I
know. A supported one.
Yeah. A supported one, yeah.
A group support. Support group.
Or friends to play Ninth Age or something like that.
Well, I've been looking at my Chaos Armies, so maybe Ninth Age is in my future. I'm missing Warhammer Fantasy now. It's been a couple of years, and I'm really kind of missing it. So I'll have my people to call your people.
Perfect.
What about you, Yom?
Oh, really? That's all? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting to meddle into bust painting. And something I would really like because it's related to my love of orcs. It's an orc bust. You talked a couple of weeks ago on the new show of the Sharky orc bust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it like a sea orc? Yep. Like a shark hunter. That one or either Papa Jumbo from the same collection, from the Black Setters, from Creative big child creative. Mm-hmm. So either one of them, that would really lie.
I just have a question. Didn't you back that
Kickstarter? I backed the Kickstarter for Black Sitters, and there's a tragic story that comes with it. Okay. I backed the Kickstarter, and I really fell in love with Papa Jumbo. Okay. So I put enough money to buy him, and there was a bust of him. So I put enough money to buy the miniature, 75 mil, and the bust. Okay. But between the end of the Kickstarter and the pledge manager, I went to Adepticon and I saw all the pieces in the Crystal Rush printing case. There were a lot of dioramas. So I had in my mind the idea of doing a dioramas. Because another model from the Kickstarter, it was a little goblin going, like, sneaking away with a treasure chest. Okay, so Papa Jumbo, the model, if you remember, he opens a treasure chest and there's no treasure, there's only, like, crabs going out of the treasure chest.
Okay.
And so I had the idea of opening the chest, there's only crabs, and sneaking behind him was the other goblin with the treasure chest.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to do a diorama with, like, this guy in, a, like, a beachfront, like, jungle scene.
Right, okay.
And so when I had the pledge manager, I changed. Like, instead of buying the bus, I got the goblin, and I have to live with that for the rest of my life. No, I mean, the bus is like twice the price now from what it was during the Kickstarter. I could buy the bus, but it's twice the price.
Oh, the exchange rate's not helping probably, right?
Yeah, no, it's, the price went up plus the exchange rate.
Plus the exchange rate, yeah.
The time was to get it was the Kickstarter. So, and a lot of people got him. So since I follow a lot of mentors, he regularly pops up in my feed, the Papa Jumbo bus.
So yeah, that's what we see a lot.
Yeah, so each time it's like stabbing me right in the heart. I was like, why was I so dumb to remove? Instead of just upping my pledge of $30 to get the goblin, I changed it. So it's like, damn it. But yeah, that's something I would really like to do is a dark bust. Papa Jumbo is at the top of this list. But I've seen many other arc busts and they all look pretty cool. It must be so fun to all the colors you can bring with that. They're all beautiful pieces. So that's one thing that is really on the top of my list. And since we're on the subject, I realized that the diorama, the beachfront jungle dioramas, I have no clue how to do it. Like, I have the two models that are going on it, but I have no clue how to do, like, 70 mil scale, like, trees and, like, palm trees and bushes and, like, what have I done? So,
cool in concept, right?
You want to go do that, go back to a show probably this summer, and in the cool stuff on the web, we've linked to a guy, a diorama man, which is on Facebook.
Okay.
He did exactly that, a tutorial about palm trees in really? Scale. Yep.
I don't know if I can pull that up, but I should look into this.
Yep.
Because what I was about to do is trying to find someone in our audience. I don't know, we'll test the reach of this podcast. Like, I want to trade with you. So someone out there, if you can make that up, I will paint something for you in exchange. It's like, I don't know how to do it. I will check. There you are, my man.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the offer is out there.
It's really nice. Yes.
The offer. I really suck at dioramas. I have no single dioramas. I really suck at it. So, So the offer is still out there anyway. Or one of you. Like, look at that, right? Tony's pretty good at this.
Seeing you looking at me
front of you,
it could be a cool scene, like the goblin's about to like step on a twig or something. Like the Papa Jumbo is looking around, like what happened.
Really cool.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
Damn it!
Execution won't necessarily be easy, but the concept's really cool.
Also, around the same time last year, we were painting for Arcade Quest. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
We were painting for Arcade Quest.
Okay, yeah. I just didn't.
It was my first and so far only company gig. So another thing on my wish list is a company gig. I don't know.
I know someone who has free stuff to paint for a company if you want.
Yeah, what?
You'll not get paid for it, but you'll have recognition.
Recognition. Like exposure.
Not exposure, not exposure.
But in a way,
there's a book right there.
It kind of counts. I don't know. There's several painters in my, I'm going to say my league. Okay. Like semi-known.
Among your peers?
Yes. Like semi-known painters. Like we can do good, but we're not like one of the big names yet. It's hard to pass that barrier of getting like the studio gigs. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, because why? And don't take this the wrong way, because I'm not actually.
Why would they hire me instead of one of the other ones?
Why would they go to you instead of Lovejoy or, you know?
Which is probably local to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's the thing, right? So there's so many big painters that do nothing but studio work, you know, and the price probably is almost not different at all, because the studio is a fixed price, right? So if they're paying you or they're paying mm-hmm. someone else, they're probably paying about the same.
Yeah.
They'd rather have the bigger name, even if the paint job is equivalent quality, just because the bigger name will bring more exposure.
Yeah. Right. It's a cycle.
Yeah. It's a catch 22, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I can get more exposure. I have to go to more cons to get more, bigger name.
I pulled that
names.
Off without actually like saying something offensive to you.
Yeah.
I am growing as a person.
Yeah. You're doing progress, Paul.
Yeah.
I think it's disgust doing this.
But it's because this time you were right.
I'm always right.
I agree with you. Sometimes, I don't know. It's like at some point those painters, they move away or they are already booked or any reason. Yeah, no, so they're not available.
Or it becomes a time constraint where they need, what happened with Cool Mini.
Yeah.
They had a ton of stuff they needed now.
Yeah.
Right. So they went with people they probably wouldn't have normally gone with.
I think they were pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and they got good results.
And there were lots of good comments on the Kickstarter about my...
That's why they only shared half of them.
Yeah, that's where we paid the second wave, and they have not shown that wave at all.
So we cannot publish them either.
Yeah. We paid the second wave that was not published.
Right.
So we still cannot show that.
Also. But those models are released now, aren't they?
Yes, they're on sale, but not the painted versions.
Yeah.
We should contact.
I'm pretty talk to Jen. Like, yeah. That seems weird.
Yeah, if but last time we contacted her, it wasn't the case.
Yeah, she said that she would talk to the guys that do the web promos, and nothing was done. So yeah. I don't know. So yeah, there's like 10 more shibis painted for me that I have not shown. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. In any case, as far as I know, Jen was happy with the work and stuff. So.
Yeah. And I know that like my work has the respect of my peers also, but I've been talking to other painters in my situation, like Mark, Chris Schmidt, if you don't know, if you know him. It's all good painters that we cannot pass that barrier. We kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I know. So, on my wish list to go back to that, on my wish list, I'm open for company gigs. I cannot seem to be getting it. Also, yeah. I'm not aggressive at all. I don't go to companies asking for jobs.
Yeah, but you don't go to that mini convention because being in Canada, shit, traveling to those and is so much of a pain.
My next point on my wish list is doing another convention. The most possible to do, I guess, with Captain Con, it's close.
Yeah.
It's close to us. TempaCon, I don't know what will happen to it. The one I would like to go was ReaperCon. Is ReaperCon. I would really love to go there.
But so it looks like we're really going to have to do that. Go fund us. send the geeks to ReaperCon.
Because it's really a really big part. Getting out there, meeting people face-to-face, participating in big competition, that's what gets your name out there.
Yeah, it's a great con for
That's
for
how we people. Get the gig from Cool Mini, because I went to Adepticon.
Yeah.
That's how we get the gig.
Yeah.
So I get the gig by sending you to competitions?
Yeah, because you got the gig through me. So
as long as you continue to cheer, I'll push you as much as I can.
All right. Hey, be sorry. And lastly, because it's more doable.
All I remember about that gig is you like mentioning it to you and I about it and me finding it funny because he was trying to like he included me in that conversation, knowing I wouldn't be able to paint to that level, but because he didn't want to make me feel left out. And I'm like, yo, like, come on. Like, what are you getting at? I can't paint like that.
That's
like,
me. I just don't want to be mean, you know. Hey, Paul, you want some of this? Yum.
No, no. What was funny is when I'm like, yo, Mio, I appreciate the offer, but we both know I don't paint at the level. And his answer was, yeah, you're right, but I figured I'd let you know so I didn't want you to feel left out. Like,
thanks. Did I really answer that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the way you answered was might have been the better phrase.
Yeah.
So that's why for a year and a half he's been acting like me. Like
no, no, no. Like, no, no, no. Actually, I wasn't offended. What happened, though, is when I got that message back in the group and Antoine saw it, I messaged Antoine and went, like, this is quintessential Yoav. Like, totally misrepresenting himself, like not wanting to be a jerk, totally sounding like a jerk. sorry. Back to the topic.
Damn, you just broke me. all right, lastly on my wishes, because it's really doable, especially since I don't have a company gig, is to finish my Signar in 2017. Boom, boom, boom. Including the Stormwalls that you guys got me 4 years ago. I'm gonna finally have a Stormwall in my
life. I chipped in on that and I didn't really know you. I think it was just after we met.
Yeah. It was my 33rd birthday. Oof.
So, yeah. Oh, shut up.
Anyway, I have it in. Because first I wanted to get good enough. And then when I thought I was good enough, I didn't have the time. So, now. Yeah. I think the time is good. I don't have a lot of Signar models to paint to finish.
You mentioned finish them, but they're still releasing stuff. You just want to be at a point where you're happy with your collection. And
no, well, I finish what I have on hand because I don't necessarily buy everything they release.
Yeah.
Since I have multiple games, multiple armies, I don't buy
everything. It's a reasonable goal. It's a reasonable goal.
Yeah.
There's probably a dozen models or something to paint in that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. That's doable considering your workload and stuff.
So that's it.
Okay. Antoine, what about you? I know it's challenging for you because you're such a miniature, like, aficionado.
Yeah, but I don't know, really. I don't have one big thing I can envision being under the tree. If listener go past the last 50 news show we've done, I collate the news, so I collate all the items. So everything there is something I might have interest in. So listen back to the last 50 news show. You'll see a lot of stuff I want to paint.
Antoine completely wishlist 50 shows.
But
that's too funny.
Yeah, because I can't think of anything specific that I would really want to paint. Like, this week we've seen Fantastic Center by Terrible Kid Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not exactly the kind of piece I would paint for this week because I don't really do competitions. Some local ones, and most of the time I just answer stuff I painted for gaming in.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of models I want to do for display, but they're just old pieces I have lying around. So I don't have vision of stuff I want to do for display. And for gaming, I have so many games. So sadly, I can't think of anything.
Hmm.
A nice photo boot.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
That reminds me, I have models from Elizabeth Beckley that I need you to have.
You take good pictures.
Yeah.
Our best pictures are from you.
Yeah. But
you made my stuff look good, I mean.
Yeah. My Bloodbringer and Mountain King.
I can't make my own stuff look good when I do the photograph. The photograph of your stuff always looks better than mine.
Keep up the good work.
With my own good pictures.
I might be getting better, but I always have problem with focus. And when I did like your big pieces, I made the photograph for your Mountain King and the Archangel. And the pictures were really nice. Can't think of any pictures of that level I did for my own stuff.
Mm.
So maybe I go faster when it's my stuff just to get it done. I don't know. A good macro
lens
would be something good, but I don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
I think my yearly spending in miniature would not cover a good macro lens. So.
I don't know if it's quite that bad, but yeah. No, for sure, lenses are not cheap.
I look back at this year and yeah, I don't think I spent enough to cover that. I was pretty frugal in miniature this year too, but still. Yeah.
Yeah, I've started becoming frugal with my miniatures and it feels weird. I don't feel like me anymore.
Yeah.
Well, when I realized that, I wouldn't pay all my stuff in 3 lifetimes.
No, for sure. So.
Flag theory.
Yeah,
my flag theory.
like you mentioned, I would like to go to a more con too, but the family timing just doesn't work. With the way our schedule is done, my wife can't pick up and drop the kids during the day, so I can't go to anything that's during the week.
Yeah,
because of our work restrictions, she couldn't leave early enough from work to pick the kids up.
Mm-hmm.
So. It just doesn't work. The only way I could is to do a summer convention where I can drop the kids with my parents because there's no school. And that limits a lot the convention we can go to.
What's in the summer?
Gen Con and Temple Con.
Hmm.
And none.
No, there's got to be something painting better than stuff. That.
What?
Nova. Nova Open.
But that's a tournament convention.
Yeah.
Is it?
But I think they also do Draconic Awards.
Yeah, but is it big enough to warrant the trip from here?
Yeah. Origins? Does Origins do painting? I know it's a game, I think.
Mostly board games and RPGs, so. They have some miniature stuff.
A lot of big miniature painting competitions, aside from like Crystal Brush and.
Well, Gen Con is not so bad. But
that's true.
That's a big investment to go to Gen Con.
And the thing is that Gen Con, you can do also the Privateer Press painting competition.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff to do there. But that would cost me a lot more than going to Captain Con, let's say.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure.
So I don't see how I can fit it. I would need a small local con during the summer with painting. And there's none of that. So,
well, in the spring, there's ours.
Well, there's ours.
For you in Quebec.
So, it's not so bad because we only do weekends. Mm-hmm. Weekend. Yeah. And it's easier to manage.
But at this point, that's not going to get you international recognition either, right?
No.
We're working on it.
Working on it. I mean,
work in progress.
Still have the backing of Mathieu Fontaine. So.
Yes, absolutely.
And the level is pretty high. I think your reputation would be built really fast.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to slight it in the least. But it's just for the time being, if you want to compete against different painters,
mm-hmm.
right? You want to expand your horizons. You want to be recognized in a different region.
Captain Khan, they have Draconic Awards. No?
They added before.
They had them last year.
This year.
Yeah, last year was the first time, I think.
Yeah, but I can do Captain Khan because we need to go in the week. So I can no longer do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's about it. The rest of my stuff is not getting stuff. I have a lot of projects, but it's working on stuff I already have for the year. Want to do more terrain because I got sloppy, almost did no terrain or dioramas or anything like that. At least not for myself. We worked on the club stuff, but nothing for me. So, and I have no longer any, and this fantasy board because under them got them all, so I need to do a new one.
Right.
But no, nothing I want to get. It's stuff I want to do. Mm-hmm. Mostly.
Okay.
And you, Paul?
Well, it's tough because I generally buy everything I want. Uh-huh. It's true, right? You don't end up with a room full of miniatures by being frugal and not buying everything you see, right? So I'm trying to get better at that. But I think, stuff I'd want under the tree is stuff that's not easily available here or stuff I can't really afford. So, you know, doing the news lets me see a lot of different models, and I've really had a craving to try something larger scale. And we've spoken a lot about Black Sun Miniatures recently, mm-hmm. in the last couple months. And they released about a month ago, I think it was, maybe a month and a half, a Dragon Hunter model. It's a female Dragon Hunter standing on, like, with one foot up on the head of the dragon. I kind of fell in love with that model. Mm-hmm. So I think if I had to pick a model I'd want to the tree, it would be that one.
And overall, their price are not that bad.
No. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's only about 40 pounds. So it's $60. More like $70.
$70 maybe.
For a 75 mil. That's not terrible. Shipping from the UK is not that bad usually. Aside from that, it's the big 40K stuff that I would never buy myself. Like, Fell Blades, like the giant super heavy Space Marine tanks for 30K. Because I think they look cool. Or the Mastodon transport.
You know you want the Warlord Titan.
There's the Warlord Titan as well, just so I have a complete set.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's getting into the realm of completely crazy. When you start talking about, you know, $1,500 for a miniature or more, whatever it is. It's beyond me.
For that one game that we might have.
Yeah. I would love to. Well, yeah, that's another thing. I'd love to play more 40K if I could find people that would play it the way I want to play it, which is no formations, force organization chart, like old school stuff. Play the new rules.
No spam.
You know, play it. Play allies if they make sense. If you can come up with a storyline reason for it, you know, but make it fun. And that's just not what a lot of the 40K community is like.
No, it's not what it is not right now.
Well, I guess that wraps up our Christmas. Christmas. My God. Too much scotch. Or not enough scotch.
Not enough.
Christmas wish list. And that takes us to our main topic, which is PVC and what the future holds for miniatures. This week we saw a major announcement that Steamforge Games plans to move away from metal and resin models to a fully PVC production, starting with their first team coming out to the fisherman, not fisherman, farmers team coming out in
April
of 2017. And then by 2018, they expect to have everything rolled out to PVC. That's pretty big news. That changes a lot of things. And, I think people, gamers, when we think PVC, we have a couple things come to mind immediately. One is board game plastic. And one is bones.
Right.
And while the bones product is great, I think it's left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, right? Detail level is not really there.
It's great for what it is.
It's great for what it is, right? If you want cheap miniatures for D&D and you need 100 orcs, there's no better way to do it than bones. You need a bunch of NPCs, or you need just stuff to represent a character, and you're not a hobbyist, quote unquote. I think it's a great option. Now, having said all that, we've kind of entered a new age of plastic models, right?
A new era.
Well, you can't joke, but it's true, yeah, right? If you look at what we've seen, and I think. Even if you look at just typical board games, if you've ever seen the models for Blood Rage,
that's in person.
But they're quite nice. Kingdom Death Monster, right? The plastic models that they shipped with their game were crazy.
Is it PVC?
It's hard plastic. It's not PVC, but still, it's a board game, right?
It needs assembly.
That's true. It needs assembly. Yeah. You look at the Conan board game that just shipped for Kickstarter, right? We looked at some of these models, and they're not as nice as metals, but the detail level is still impressive.
Yeah.
From what we saw from Conan, some, like the basic trooper and everything, were less detailed, but some of the other models were nicely detailed. I mean, it was comparable to metal for some model. Well, I don't know if you agree or not, but
looked enough.
From what I saw in the box, some stuff was comparable to metals.
And a lot of the character upgrade packs for Conan were amazing, or the monsters, like the big monsters, were super detailed for pre-assembled plastic. And it was the first time I ever looked at a set of board game models and went, wow, these would be like fun to paint. I wouldn't want to slip my wrist trying to paint them, you know, because usually the details are so fuzzy.
Yeah.
There's no hard lines. There's no anything, right? But these are sharp.
Mm-hmm. Is Zombicide PBC also?
Yeah.
They also have really impressive stuff.
Yeah. Not as good as a high-end gaming miniature, let's say, but much sharper than what we see with, like, bones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Kickoff, which is the Steamforge product that launched, and we have pre-assembled plastics that, I don't know if you've seen any of the painted pictures, but they paint up beautifully.
And Steve bought the game and he brought it.
And you can tonight. See the model now. Radio.
But no, seriously, I've looked at them because one of the team is the Brewers and I have the Brewers in middle, and the quality is not as great as metals, but it's pretty close. Seriously, it's pretty good quality for PBC. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, from what I've checked on the models, the bigger model look better and they stand out a bit better because they're bigger. So, I mean, the details are a bit better, and some of the smaller one and the smaller face are suffering a bit more.
See, that's interesting. I thought the opposite. I thought the bigger models looked a little more bland.
Oh, okay.
Even if on the smaller ones or specific ones, you have to freehand the face a bit. Yeah. I mean, it's not the first time that you have a freehand face on the on a model, even metal ones. I mean, except for resin, which is another universe all entirely, the quality is there.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah, and if you listen to the SteamCon keynote or some of the podcasts they did interviews on, those, the Kickoff models, are one piece.
Yeah.
And they reuse most of the current sculpt in one piece. What they'll do for farmers, and they'll go to multi-piece but pre-assembled, because that way they can have sharp details on all sides of the model instead of only two facing because of the way metal injection works. They don't need to come apart and have flat sides.
Yeah, the way they're ejected from the mold, right? Yeah. And like you said, right, because it's a metal mold for PVC, you can have detail on one plane, but not the other.
Yeah.
So if you have detail horizontally on the model, well, that means the model has to slide out of the mold horizontally, right? Because you can't have those undercuts. And one of the other things I mentioned is that when they do go to PVC, the plastic they're going to use is a higher detail plastic.
Yeah, it's not the same one as they use for Kickoff.
Yeah. But even this really impressed me for what it was.
So it's, okay, so we can be hopeful because Kickoff is already great. I mean,
yeah, and it should be, they say, 2 or 3 level better than that.
Wow.
That's what they mentioned.
So that's what I heard in the keynote as well. Because when I first heard the news, I was everybody was scared.
Especially you.
Yeah.
You bought all the models in resin, so it's the big
step. Yeah, exactly. It's a big step because I really like the resin model over metal. And now they're discontinued resin and going all the way to plastic. I was kind of sad, but seeing the quality and seeing the keynote and everything, so it's kind of reassuring to see, like, well, okay, yeah, plastic has made some huge progress for those kind of PVC pieces.
Well, I think even for not hard plastic,
Like
we've seen sharp details on Game Workshop models, but those the molding process costs so much more than PVC.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not necessarily that the plastics change. Also, it's their sculpting style.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. As the artists become more familiar with the medium, they sculpt in consequence of it.
They can adjust.
They know what to avoid. Right? And I think that makes a big difference as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, GW makes great stuff, but they're not doing the same type of molding process. Like you said, it's a huge investment to do that type on large scale. And quite frankly, small companies like Steamforge couldn't afford that investment. No. You know, if you're talking about Kickoff, sorry, not Kickoff, they were talking about their Dark Souls Kickstarter,
mm-hmm.
right, where they need 45,000 copies for the backers, plus however many they decide to sell at retail. Right, that's a huge volume of miniatures. And that production line, they could not afford to invest to do that in-house in injection plastic. Like, it just makes sense.
Well, they could, but if they want to go for pre-assemble, it's a lot more work after the model is casted, going to hard plastic instead of PVC.
Yeah.
Because with that number, they have the cash for mm-hmm. it to go for injection, I think. But that's not a board game material.
That depends on the number of models, right?
Yeah, it depends on the number of models and everything. But even then.
So what do you think? How do you think this is going to affect the industry?
I think we need to wait for April and see the farmers for real. And then we'll know if really they lost the painter side mm-hmm. or not. Because
that's the big challenge, right?
Yes, I love the game, but what brought me to look at the game was the models.
Yeah, the hobbyist faction will definitely, you know, won't definitely leave the game, but they'll definitely be put out by it, right?
Mm.
And it's their reaction that will determine if they can successfully pull this off. Because if they can, it means that the company will stay healthy for a lot longer.
Well, the thing is, the company, before they decided to do this, they actually surveyed their clients. And they said 70% of their clients basically don't care. 70% of their client base, they said, play the game to play the game, not because of the models, not because they want to paint it, not because of anything else. So the fact they don't want to play high level. They just want a fun game to play. Which is why they decided they could do this without alienating the majority of their client base, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they could afford the risk. But I was more getting at, like, so let's say this is successful. Let's say they pull this off and they come out with some phenomenal looking models that you can't tell are PVC, right? What does this mean for the rest of the industry? Do you think we'll see other companies go through? Oh, yeah.
Well, they will have to fall.
Already, I don't remember the name of the game, but Fantasy Flight, new mass battle game. It's going to be PVC.
Yeah, Rune something? Rune Ma?
The one based on the Rune War universe. Yeah. I don't know if it's called Rune Wars, the battle game or something like that. I don't remember. We talked about it in the news when it was released at Gen Con or announced at Gen Con.
Because we've seen other companies try mass battle games, or not maybe mass battle, but like mainstream war games
mm-hmm.
in plastics, right? I mean, not counting X-Wing, because X-Wing, I think the material they have, you can get away with less sharp details because it's spaceships, it's different, it's not facial features, it's not, you know, not mm-hmm. the same minutia of detail.
Mm-hmm.
They look like dust. Like, the dust models were perfectly playable, perfectly usable, but I never found them particularly nice. The infantry, like, the features were kind of soft, I found. You think that's a fair assessment? You know, you painted a lot of dust?
The first wave, yes. What they did in the end was a lot better.
Okay, I didn't see anything from later on. Or I didn't paint anything from later
Throughout
on.
Throughout the years, the later models, they are a lot better than what they used to.
Because their material is pretty soft.
Yeah, it's soft plastic. But the quality of details that you have in the later batch of models, it's same level as other material.
You think? Okay.
I'm convinced.
Okay, so if that's the case, I mean, presumably PVC will be cheaper to produce. Do you think that'll translate to cheaper price points for end users? So, like, in the case of Guild Ball, they're going to launch they're going to release whole teams in one box, and they're going to do, like, four-man upgrade packs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it would be cheaper, but, you know, like, price keep going up, okay? That's...
Yeah.
It happens, okay? It's normal. But I think they will be able to keep the price same level. Like, you won't feel it, like, it's cheaper, maybe? Maybe there will be a original price drop or something.
Yeah, I think maybe Guild Ball's a bad example of that, too, because Guild Ball's...
The middle where they're priced as a boutique.
Yeah, they are extremely overpriced compared
to... first, I think, but after that, it's just that it won't go up as much as it would have. But will you really realize that? I don't know.
No, I think the cost will be less, hopefully, because it's cheaper to produce and...
Well, I mean, right now, what does it cost for a six-man Guild Ball team?
A bit over 100 Canadian.
Yeah.
If you don't go for big guys.
Yeah, because it's about $16 a model, right? Something like $15 to $16 a model.
Yeah. The starter are 50 or so?
40. They 40, were 40, yeah. 40, first, yeah. I don't know what's the price now.
I think they're 49 now.
Okay, maybe.
For that's three models.
Yeah.
And then $15 a model, then 45, so yeah, like 95, about $100, yeah, okay.
And the Hunter starter set with a complete six model was 95 something. 90, 95.
Okay. So do you think we're still going to see this? You're going to pay $95 for six PVC models?
No, they said that the it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
They mentioned it. What I don't see is that the change of material going for anything that's not... either popular or large quantities of model. I think we're going to continue to see metal and resin for all the small boutique shops.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense because production scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy. You know, if you need I need three of these metal models to fill an order, you do that in, you know, 30 seconds, right? You put the mold in the spin caster, you know, cast a couple to warm it up. Throw them back in the melting pot, cast a few models you need, cast a few extra for stock, and you're done. You know, 10 minutes later, you've got 5-6 models done, and you're good to go. Whereas, you know, if you're dealing with PVC, well, that's, you're talking production runs of probably hundreds of units or something.
Yeah.
I think it must be around 1,000 to make it profitable. Start the change in it, the chain and everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking initial. I'm talking about like for reruns.
Yeah,
once they've got the molds and stuff, you probably don't have to order that many.
Yeah.
Listening to a lot of board game podcasts, I think the minimum runs for most of the Chinese plays are 500 to 1,000. And that's minimum run, even not for just first printing, for reruns too.
Probably depends on the volume of business you're doing with them too, right? I'm sure if Cool Mini wanted to, you know, wants, you know, 250 of a model, they'll do it for them because they, you know, the volume of business they do
for them. They get size pricing, so
But I think if they needed something, you know,
they will do it.
A special case.
What's the French term? Dépanner. To try to hold them. You know.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna do the small run just not to lose the rest of the business, or they're gonna.
So I think
this as leverage to keep the rest of the business.
But like, who else do you see transitioning to the safe material?
Well, we've already mentioned Fantasy Flight. They were doing.
I don't really consider them. I mean, yes, they have the most popular miniature game out there.
No, but
I don't consider them a miniature company.
Right? No, but
they're
with
getting
the new miniature game they have.
Yeah,
it is. SimForge grew enough to make that move, which I find surprising. I know the game is popular, but I didn't think it would be enough to like change everything.
I think the leverage from Dark Souls makes a difference.
Yes, it probably does.
I think that's the entirety of the secret there.
I tell you, those. I'm not sure.
Like, GW won't do it. There's no
way. No.
Do you think people...
But it made no sense because they have...
Well, they have everything in
for in-house. It to matter to go for injections.
Yeah.
Manifold, they are redoing.
They're already doing hard plastic.
Do you think PP could move to PVC or?
They're already a kind of PVC, isn't it? Or they're Restic, isn't
that? Yeah, but they're moving away from Restic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like just for a big popular case.
You know, do you think we could ever see their base troops? I mean, I think Steamforged was at the right place, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't have 1,500 SKUs to resculpt in consequence of being able to cast them in a PVC material, right? So they got to recast, was it 6 teams? Is it really 9 teams? Holy crap.
Yeah.
So 6 models per team about? So they got to... Well, it was 6 in the basic. Yeah, yeah, plus 4.
10 to 12.
Yeah, yeah, it's 10 to 12. Yeah, yeah, sorry. The basic list was 6.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So, you know, 10, 9, so 90 models, it's still doable, right? And the thing is that they're going to continue. They've said right out they're going to continue with those teams in metal for now.
Yeah, and
eventually resculpt and translate. Yeah,
yeah, and all the release we know up to April are metal as well, the single minis and everything. So
they'll change it going forward. And I think that's the key, right? I think everyone else is just too big.
Yeah, or too small to make the change.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
you need to have the volume. If you don't have the volume,
yeah. Somebody like maybe Battlefront with Flames of War.
Mantic?
Well,
Mantic is already plastic.
Most of it is rustic.
Yeah. It's rustic? I thought it was plastic.
They have some units in hard plastic in injection.
Yeah.
And some in rustic. Okay. And I must be honest, I'm fuzzy between the difference between rustic and ABC.
And PVC.
Yeah.
I think rustic is a type of PVC.
But it's a type, but yeah.
So are they a pain to clean?
Yeah. So Mantic are already doing that. I think somebody like Battlefront could do, and it would probably help them because from what I've heard, Flames of War Army cost an arm and a leg. Even for the small scale, the models cost a ton. And they probably have the size or add the size. I don't know if they still
I don't know what their traction is.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe like new companies who are going to do Kickstarter will probably start with PVC because they're going to calculate the cost to run the mold and everything, and they're going to base their cost on that and make the Kickstarter happen.
I think in order to make it work, you need to have a self-contained game.
Yeah.
Right, where you're not planning on a 500 expansion models over the next 3 years.
Well, or you produce self-contained box.
Modules.
Yeah, module and box with miniatures, with add-ons and rules to that.
A bit like Super Dungeon. Do with Super Dungeon 4. Yeah. They have complete extensions. Except some of the hero models they sell alone. Everything else is packs. So...
It's interesting. It's going to be a big change to go to this material from a painting point of view. Because what drew me to the game, like you, was the painting. I love the Fisherman models. I love the detail level. I think it's such a good balance of detail to functionality of the model. You know, I like Privateer Press models, but I find that their jacks are kind of plain. And their infantry looked like they were designed by Rob Layfield. And giant shoulder pads and packs everywhere. Little pouches and packs. And it's like a throwback to 90 comic books. That's true. It looks like a 1990s comic book character.
Duplicator. Sure. You know?
It's like if Cable wore red armor, he would be a Kador soldier. Yeah, like just a pouch here, a pouch there, pouch on his butt, pouch on his ankle, pouch on top of his head, pouch, you know. It's a little over-detailed. Right? Sometimes, like, a little ridiculous. They still look cool. Don't get me wrong. The nightmare to paint. That was the joy of the Steamforge models, because you had these little details, these little accents, but they didn't overshadow the rest of the model, right? You still had, you know, nice big flesh areas, nice armor, cloth, great facial details, and these little accents to make things pop. So I thought it was pretty cool. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they go to this PVC material and whether or not they'll be able to maintain that painter community. Because I think most people hate the assembly of the models for them, especially their older stuff.
Yes.
But the painting people like. Mm. Right? That seems to be the general feeling I get from from people I've spoken to. Like Kathy Waffle went on and on and on about how the models were fun. But she never wanted to assemble them ever again and would stab someone if they asked her to. Like, it was literally that. Like, maybe that's not her exact words, but it was, there was a feeling there. She's probably going to kill me for putting words in her mouth, but, you know, that was kind of the general impression I got, that she thought the models looked cool, but assembling them was a nightmare. And I'm kind of in the same boat. I love painting them, but assembling them is just...
Yeah, it's a pain.
Yeah,
it's trouble. Killing me. Yeah. You know, that's why Hemlock is still in a baggie. Because I look at all those little tiny pieces and I'm like, I've got nothing small enough to
pin that way. I needed that super fine pin vise from you to drill super fine holes to put super fine.
Funny story. Apparently, you guys have the same problem I do, where I keep buying pin vises, trying to find something with a super small drill bit, and it may come with the bit, but the chuck on the pin vises is too big to actually hold the bits that come with.
Yeah, he said that in the last episode, that we have the same model, but his go to like one size smaller.
Yeah.
So when I do extra fine detail, I have to borrow his.
And it makes no sense. We bought the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Quality control.
Source from a different factory or something in China, right? Because that's the follow.
But yeah. Sure, PVC has a reputation, and I guess painters are a bit wary. But when I see those brewers in Kickoff, and I know the brewers before having worked with them firsthand in metal, I'm hopeful. I don't see a big drop at all. I'm really hopeful.
Now let's take this another direction. Do you think the PVC revolution will change board gamers and bring board gamers into the hobby, into the painting hobby? Because if you're looking at stuff like the Conan box in front of me, those models are pretty impressive for a board game plastic.
Maybe.
Maybe
because they don't need to assemble anything.
Because the way I see it, it's not assembling. That's the main deterrent for board gamer is non-self-contained games. It's the gaming part. The hobby part is a pain, but it's not the main reason they don't play miniature games. It's something that always grow. That's not fixed. It's not a rule set that they can master and continue to play that.
Yeah, but
when you look at board games, people play one board game, or they try multiple games, but they want a self-contained game that everything is in it, and they can bring it to the table, and the other opponents will know what they try.
Board game have several expansion nowadays, no?
Yeah, but the expansion comes few and far between.
Okay.
And most board gamers don't paint anyway.
No.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. Do you think having these higher detailed models in their board games
will entice them to paint?
No. I think it might not help because there's more detail and most board
games are
probably daunting. Yeah, more daunting.
See, I would have... 3 weeks ago, I would have agreed with you. But this Kickstarter, it's Conan, that we're looking at here, the person that box belongs to swore off miniature painting about 15 years ago. Said he would never do it again. He started painting these.
Yeah, I don't see it. How many miniatures just in a base game for Conan? He might paint an info and stop.
And maybe we'll just paint the heroes.
Yeah, but even that.
Yeah, right? still painting.
It's not about painting the whole box. And I don't expect anyone to paint the 200 models that come in the base box or the 90 models or whatever it is. Like, but to get him to paint, he's painted 3 or 4 models so far, which is still more than he's managed to paint since he played second edition 40K. Right? So,
yeah.
And to a higher level. He showed me these models and I was super impressed because, you know, there's not, you know, all kinds of shading and highlighting, but he's got good kind of base colors. And then he added details. He added Woad because he was painting Pict Warriors, which are like the Celts, right? So he added Woad to them and stuff. And I thought that was neat because I wouldn't do that on one of my models. And I consider myself a decent painter. And I would never think to try to do stuff like that. So I would think I would never do it. So it surprised me that someone who hates painting Like, we're talking someone who could not understand that I spent more than 15 minutes painting a model. His exact words. The look of disgust he gets when I tell him I spent 4 hours painting something, it blows his mind.
I can't relate to him.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. And he started painting because the models are there. There's a bunch of them. So if he messes a couple up, he doesn't really care because he's got, 100 others that are exactly like it. The detail levels are good. They take washes. They take, because that was the other thing. Like, if you tried simple painting techniques on a board game piece from 10 years ago, you end up with a muddy mess. Right? There was not, the teals were not sharp enough for a lot of the simple techniques to work. You could not dry brush effectively. You ended up with there was no texture for it to grab onto. Washing didn't work. Like, I think we're going to start seeing, they're like gateway drugs.
Maybe. If it's the case, I'm happy. The more people who paint, the better.
Your request on steroids.
Yeah. And the thing is, and that also may help, bring our hobby more into a mainstream, because board gaming is more mainstream than miniature gaming.
Yes.
I think it's a fair assessment, right?
No way.
So maybe long run, it helps gain some visibility for our hobby and bring us to a more mainstream position.
We don't have to hide in basement anymore.
Well, we'll still hide in basements, especially if you're wearing that sweater. I'm glad this is a radio show and not a video show.
We must take a pic.
That must be
a
the
picture
cover.
Of this. Oh, yeah. It's going as the banner for the episode.
Done and done.
You need to get in the other.
It's horizontal for the.
Yes, sweater.
For the cover.
Okay, we're going to get some silence there while I'm painting pictures.
And great radio.
Great radio. It's okay, I'll run the filter, I'll pull the silence out. People won't know there's any silence there at all. It'll just sound like 2 seconds of them, not 10, as I try to figure out my camera. And once again, I feel like I'm doing all the talking, and you guys are just sitting there staring at me.
I talk.
I'm listening. I'm just listening.
What a strange time for you to start.
You will kill out one.
Sorry, it was too easy.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good one. That was a good one. I was trying to be nice. I was like, I show respect. I listen.
Yeah,
I agree.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I saw the
opening.
The opening there, and I had to take it. Okay. Well, do you have any? I mean, I don't want to keep talking about this if we've said everything we have to say. But do you guys have anything you want to add to the discussion on this?
The future is now.
Oh wow! Very prophetic, okay. Steve.
Could you expand on this?
No, because he's talking out of his glasses.
Well, based on what Steve just said, and a bit of what I've said before, I think the coming year will give us a really clear idea of if this is really something that's going to catch on.
If it's going to stay or it's just a phase.
As a painter, I'm hopeful.
Rune Wars, The Farmers, and other releases from Simforge. Other board games following Conan, the next cool mini board game announced, the one with the Asian team, the concept arts are amazing. People are raving about them and just can't wait to see what the minis will look like. It's based on the Blood Rage system, but with a different team.
Oh, okay.
The same designer.
Well, I've heard nothing but good things about Blood Rage, so I can't imagine it really going far wrong.
Eric Lang is working on a revised version of Blood Rage, but with a really nice Asian Eastern team on it. And all the concept art are amazing, and it's going to be the same material. So if Blood Rage is already cool, and they go to a new material, same material, but even better sculpts. I think by the end of next year, we'll know if that's what's going to be the main material now or not. But I don't see why it wouldn't, because right now, board games don't go to other materials, but the details get sharper and sharper. Mm-hmm. So we'll just get
going to a good point examples where... Besides a good example, those models I would just paint.
Yeah, each. We'll get to the point where it's on par or almost with metal, and where it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the size of the print run and the size of the company, if they can afford the molding process, will go to PVC and the rest will stick with metal. Or boutique will stick with resin for painters, for display stuff.
Yeah.
But bigger game companies, will just go to PVC. There's no need, looking at those models, I see no need to go to injection. They don't need to pay the crazy price of injection molding when they can already get that.
Yeah, no, it's a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's the last of that topic. Do we want to... I know we kind of have this in the notes and it wasn't really official. Do we want to do a quick Season 3 kind of first impressions for Guild Ball?
We probably should skip it because we already talked a bit about it during our games. And we're probably already late into the recording.
Yes, we are. We're about 2 hours. So. Yeah. Okay, so we'll save that for another show. Yeah. Once we got a few more games
and that way, you and Yom will be able to...
Because I have zero Sounds games good. Right now. So
Yeah, same here. Alrighty then. Well, I guess that's the show, guys. In case we don't get a chance to record before Christmas, I wish you both a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Best to all you and your families.
Yom is donating a funny face.
Well, it's because I think he's about to mention that we're supposed to record later on this week with him on the show.
Oh, okay.
For one of the interviews.
Paul already mentioned that we will release this one after the other that we recorded.
With my huge Ubby Crush, Mark Macy.
Yeah, that's right. Yom doesn't know I've cut him out of the show yet, though, so...
Okay. That's why.
Oh, I will fight him with the skin of my teeth. No.
Fight all you want. If I'm not answering the phone call, it doesn't matter. So happy holidays. All the best. Maybe we'll see how the release schedule works. Depends on how fast I can edit. There's some things we want to discuss with the some of the other show content for the next couple episodes. May have to come out earlier because it's more time sensitive. Or maybe I'll just release a bunch of episodes all at once and people have stuff to listen to over the holidays. Who knows?
Yeah, during all those trips to the family and
exactly.
driving.
Exactly. We got three, I'm going to call this Guild of the North again. Three Geeks of the North shows all at once to listen to. Everyone will be shocked, amazed, and they'll wonder what's wrong with us.
Merry Christmas, guys.
We just expect that release schedule for the next year. So.
God, no. We can't even do one episode of Mud.
If they only knew.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. Well, I guess that's an episode, guys.
Yeah, that's enough. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Nerd Bite, daily themed updates about several facets of nerddom, with main focuses on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and things that fall under the Super Hulock fandom. Also, nerdy adventures, conventions, theme parks, and loot crates. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.